Our next to last reader is Zach Schneer. He is currently in his second year of a MA program in English Literature and Creative Writing at Concordia. He has published short fiction with Delirium Press and contributed book reviews to the Toronto Sun. Zach?
Okay, the story I'm reading is called A Short Getaway. Small disclaimer. In the scenes where Noah and Jesse are talking, Jesse isn't responding. It sounds a bit vague from that, but perhaps it'll be clear when I read it. Okay. We're pretty high up. Do you think they see us? If we fell from here, we'd be dead, easily. Jesse and Noah stand by the shore where a water taxi idles in shallow water, waiting for their father and two others. The driver, Bartholomew, smokes his second cigarette of the morning. The sun is glazed in orange, wrapped in cellophane. Recibo, senor. I beg your pardon? Recibo, por favor. I don't know what you're saying. The receipt, sir. The bow of the boat lifts up from the water as Bartholomew nudges the throttle down. Waves slap against the surging prow. The boat eclipses shadows cast by a ring of volcanic rocks, which enfold a beach tourists refer to as Lover's Cove. Paul makes small talk with an older woman, her flesh rippling out from the cut of her bathing suit. She has bought a pink cowboy hat in Cabo from one of the street merchants lining the quay. Its tassels bounce as the boat thuds against the foam. She holds it down with her hand. Her lips are covered in zinc. I'm timing this, you know. Almost 4 minutes so far. I just took a picture of my big toe. The prow lowers into the surf as Bartholomew eases the throttle up. Noah closes one eye and blocks out the hotel with his thumb. There are three steps at the back of the boat, lined with slick, wet, black felt. They lead to the landing where Bartholomew and another Mexican, Marco, buckle the boy who will go first. He has decided to wear his headphones for this ride. The gulls are indignant. They squawk their disapproval. A great white heron divides the sky along a horizontal axis. Paul leans down to bail some water from the boat, furtively keeping his eye on Jesse and Noah as they mount the stairs to the landing. The landing is white and rough and freckled like standing on pebbles. Jesse curls her toes inward. Her braces push against her glossy cheeks. The two Mexicans, Marco and Bartholomew, busy themselves strapping Jesse and Noah into the harness, making jokes while their hands clip-clip and clip-clips and knot-knots. Their clothing smells of cigarettes and salt water. Both children smile at their father, but differently. Noah's skin is already dark. Jesse's is pink and swollen. Marco hops down from the landing and begins cranking, releasing the tethered pair. The parachute expands, harnessing the wind, silencing it. Noah's camera thumps against his chest during the ascent. It is higher than Paul anticipated, higher than the peak of the stone-dry hills and the clay-baked valleys of the Baja Peninsula. A cold, unexpected wind blows along the coastline. We're having Japanese for dinner again. The food here is terrible. Your lips are purple, you know. A freighter labors across the horizon towards San Jose del Cabo. The sun begins to ebb, leaving a smudge behind. Paul leans back, craning his neck for a better look. He has been getting up at sunrise to place towels, magazines, lotions across a row of lounge chairs by the pool. He is tired, understandably, and sick of Japanese. The woman with the pink cowboy hat gazes skyward, mouth slightly ajar. There's a piece of green gum in the space between her molars and her cheek. 7 minutes, 22 seconds. Mum better be getting a picture of this. 37, 38, 39. Marco begins to reel them in. Bartholomew sits at the wheel, drawing on his cigarette, before stubbing it out alongside the boat, tossing it into a rusted coffee can. He removes the cushion from the back seat and pulls out a windbreaker. The sun leans toward the ocean floor. Paul rubs his hands together and kneads his thighs. Mucho frio, señor. Not too cold. Sí. Sí? Very cold tonight. Noah jumps down from the landing and moves past his father's offer up to the bow. Paul wraps Jesse tightly in a hotel towel. He rubs her shoulders, her arms with quick circular motions. The sun streaks purple bands across the water, folding itself neatly into the pocket of the Pacific. Paul glances over his shoulder into dark water, turning expectantly towards the beach. Bartholomew kills the engine and lets the boat coast into shallow water. Marco jumps from the back of the boat into ice, jeans rolled up to his knees. He extends his hands to the woman with the pink cowboy hat, helping her out. Noah jumps out at the bow. Jesse slides her legs over the side. Paul sits for a moment, deciding whether to jump or not. His teeth chatter slightly. He reaches for the Mexican, grasping his snakeskin palm, lit up by the lampposts which line the beachfront. Muchas gracias, Marco, he says, heavy eyes lowered to meet his. De nada, señor. On the beach, the merchants finish packing away beaded necklaces, mother-of-pearl earrings, seashell bracelets, ceramic crockery with Aztec design. The mariachi band plays a tango in the lobby bar. Paul gives Noah and Jesse firm pats on their behinds, and the two run ahead to their room, disappearing into the pellucid blue of the swimming pool and the potted lights. Stopping to replace the soiled towels with new ones for tomorrow, Paul scans poolside before burying his face in freshly laundered towels. He breathes in, holding onto its antiseptic scent for an extra moment. Darkness spreads itself comfortably among the lounge chairs, palm trees, as the surf pounds the shoreline. All right, thanks.